بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, many of us, if not all of us, are still reeling from the shock of the horrifying and sad events that took place in Christchurch, New Zealand, where 50 of our Muslim brothers and sisters were mercilessly gunned down. While we are naturally grieved at their loss and angered by the act of terrorism perpetrated by the terrorist, we would like to use this occasion and this moment to salute and congratulate those 50 individuals who departed from this world in a most enviable way. Now, much has been said with regards to the ranks that they have earned via the different platforms over the past week, but much still needs to be said about the lofty position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred upon them. فَإِنَّ صَاحِبَ الْجَنَّةِ يُخْتَمْ لَهُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined that a certain person will be granted admission into Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes his death and allows him to meet his end when he is engaged in the deeds of the people of Jannah. A few notes and points that we should consider regarding the demise and the death of these great martyrs. Firstly, the day on which they experienced their demise was the best day of the week. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna min afdali ayyamikum yawm al-jum'ah." You will not experience a better day. You will not witness a better day during the course of the week than the day of Jum'ah. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke specifically about the death and the demise that one experiences on the day of Jum'ah. مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يَمُوتُ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ أَوْ لَيْلَةَ الْجُمْعَةِ إِلَّا وَقَاهُ اللَّهُ فِتْنَةَ الْقَبْرِ. That person who passes away on the day of Jum'ah, on the night preceding the day of Jum'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will safeguard and protect that person from the trials, the tribulations and the punishments of the grave. Those 50 fortunate souls were engaged in a deed that some consider to be better than an optional Hajj. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyab rahimahullah ta'ala, who said, "Huwa ahabbu ilayya min hajjatin nafilah." He says, "Hudurul Jum'ah, attending the Jum'ah prayer and coming to the masjid on the day of Jum'ah is better than an optional Hajj, is better than a nafal Hajj." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, "Al-Jum'atu hajjul masakeen." Acknowledging the fact that there will be people amongst the ummah who will not have the means to embark on the pilgrimage and who will not have the financial ability to undertake the journey of Hajj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Jumu'ah is the Hajj of those amongst my ummah who will not have the ability to perform Hajj. Attending the Jumu'ah prayer for them is equal in merit and virtue than the Hajj that they are unable to perform. So they have experienced death on the best of days, while carrying out the best of deeds, and of course in the best and purest of locations, and that is the masjid. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about these locations, these spots and the masajid, Allah says that they are the unshared, exclusive properties of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. The spots on earth, the locations on earth that are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that are most revered by Allah azza wa jal are the masajid. Al-masjidu baytu kulli taqiyin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the house of Allah, the masjid, it is a sanctuary, it is the home of every righteous and pious person. Then according to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can confidently state that these persons who are martyred, the 50 individuals, our brothers and sisters, we can confidently say that they were martyred while they were in a state of salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith, لَا يَزَالُ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي الصَّلَاةِ مَا دَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ تَحْبِسُهُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, so long as you are in the masjid awaiting for salah, every one of us is awaiting for the Jumu'ah salah to be performed. When you are in the masjid and the only thing that's holding you back in the masjid and keeping you in the masjid is waiting for salah, then you are in a state of salah. And then of course, they lost their lives in the most honorable way. And that is shahada, martyrdom in the way of Allah. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Allah says, do not think, do not dare think for a moment that those who have been killed in the way of Allah are dead. They are alive. They are with their Rabb, being provided for and entertained in the presence of Allah. فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. They are rejoicing and they are experiencing immeasurable levels of happiness and joy because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed them to enjoy. Look, Allah azza wa jal has reserved certain ranks in the akhirah for different categories of people. So you have the rank that has been reserved for a Nabi. That rank and that position can only be occupied by the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. And ummati will never be able to reach that rank of the Nabi. Then you have the rank of the Siddiq. The rank of the Siddiq, that rank can be occupied by an ummati, a member from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ra'isu Siddiqeen, Amiru Siddiqeen is none other than Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Then you have the rank of the Shaheed, the rank of the martyr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved. And that station, that position, that also can be occupied. That can be occupied from a member of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have the station of the Salih. And the station that will be occupied by the Salihin. Those who come to Masjid Salihin, inshallah. Allah make us from them. The thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved these stations, these positions and these ranks in akhirah. And Allah selects people. It's a selection from Allah. وَيَتَّخِذْ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَىٰ. يَتَّخِذْ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَىٰ. After the battle of Uhud, we know the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala were overcome with grief and sorrow because they suffered great losses. They were not defeated because the enemy did not achieve their objective. So they were not defeated, but they did suffer a great amount of losses and sustained a lot of injury. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used different modes of expressions of condolence and expressions of sympathy to comfort the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are different modes of expression that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had used in order to comfort the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in. You will note the difference between the modes of expression after the battle of Badr and after the battle of Uhud. There's a disparity between the two. After the battle of Badr, you will find that there is some sternness, direct modes of expression to the Sahaba. Why? They were victorious on that occasion and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want them to lose sight of the fact that Allah was responsible for their victory and that victory, that achievement should not be attributed towards themselves. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. But after the battle of Uhud, when you look at the mode of expression, there's comfort, there's sympathy, messages of condolence. Why? Because on that occasion they had suffered great losses. So there were different messages of condolence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had expressed in the Quran to comfort the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom, and by extension the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the expressions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used, a very powerful expression when you think about it, Allah says, وَيَتَّخِذْ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَىٰ. O my Sahaba, why are you grieved? Why are you saddened? Don't allow yourself to be overtaken by sorrow. Allah has selected these individuals. This is a selection from Allah. Allah has reserved a spot for them in Akhirah. And all that Allah has done is allowed them to occupy that reserved location. Think about it when you have a wedding and there's a table or there are seating arrangements that have been reserved for certain people. And now when you are busy drawing up that list, there are selected people who will be seated at that reserved seating area. يَتَّخِذْ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to be seated at those reserved places in Akhirah. عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. It doesn't get more VIP than this. Where are they seated? عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, at the side of their Rabb. يُرْزَقُونَ, they are being served and entertained by the will and the permission of Allah. So as far as those 50 individuals and martyrs are concerned, rest assured that they are in a position and in a place where we wish to be, inshallah. هَكَذَا نَحْسِبُهُمْ وَلَا نُزَكِّي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. This is our view of them. This is what we assume of them. Ultimately, their reckoning lies with Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the first issue and the first aspect. Secondly, another aspect to consider is that their departure from this world was indeed a source of abundant good, abundant khair. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, فَطُوبَى لِمَنْ جَعْلَهُ اللَّهُ مِفْتَاحًا لِلْخَيْرِ مِغْلَاقًا لِلشَّرِ. I congratulate and I salute the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a source of goodness reaching others. Their shahada and their martyrdom was a means of hidayah, was a means of guidance. There are confirmed reports of people who have embraced Islam after the events that had taken place last week. The first sitting of the New Zealand Parliament after the attack was opened with the recitation of the Quran. لَيَبْلُغَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ لَيَبْلُغَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ مَا بَلَغَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reassured the Sahaba that this message of the Quran and the message of Deen, it will penetrate and it will reach every such place that is penetrated by day and night. Whether it is a simple, humble dwelling in a remote area in Africa or whether it is a parliament in a first world country, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the message of Quran will reach. And the demise and the death, the martyrdom of these individuals was a means of the message of Islam and the message of Quran reaching places where we never imagined the Quran to be recited and the message being delivered. The second issue is our response. How do we react? And how should we respond to the killings and the tragedy that had taken place in New Zealand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, let me take you back to the occasion of Uhud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed certain ayat to help the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom deal with the losses that they had suffered on the occasion of Uhud. A number of ayat. One ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. O Sahaba, whatever sufferings you had encountered, whatever lives were lost, whatever injuries were sustained, all of that happened with the will, the command, and the wish of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with an extremely powerful element, brothers. An element that will assist us deal with this type of tragedies and calamities, and that is riba. Riba is literally translated as al-qubul, to accept. Al-qana'a, a sense of contentment. Riba means a tranquil and serene acceptance of Allah's will. That is riba. And this is so fundamental in the life of a believer, to help us navigate through the tragedies and the calamities that we experience on an individual level and as an ummah. I do not suggest that what happened must be approved. We never approve it. But when calamity strikes, we will never question the decision of Allah, but will instead exercise riba, and we will resort to this powerful element and characteristic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Now, riba does not mean that we are transformed into robots. Riba is not something that makes us emotionless, that we become emotionless. Showing emotion and expressing emotion is encouraged at times. Of course, in measured proportions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, the famous incident when he addressed his son Ibrahim alayhi salam after his demise, he expressed emotions. So expression of emotions is encouraged at times, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to it as rahmah, as a source of mercy from Allah. But riba means that at the depth of our being, at the depth of our being, there has to be stillness. There has to be a sense of serene acceptance and a sense of knowledge that everything is alright and everything is in good hands, the hands of Allah. Ya sah, la tadza' wa la tabjar, wa sallim lil maqadir kay tuhmad wa tu'jar. My friend, do not grieve. And do not panic. Do not be agitated. Do not be overcome with depression. لا تجزع ولا تضجر وسلم للمقادير. Surrender to the decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you may become praiseworthy and well rewarded by Allah azza wa jal. So our outward expression of emotions must be met with an inner feeling of rida, tranquil and serene acceptance of the will and the decision of Allah Azza wa Jal. Everything is in the will of Allah Ta'ala. And if we cannot see the reason for it, well, then so what? We are human beings with minds that have limited capacity, with minds that have imperfections, with minds that have incomplete abilities. We are human beings. The third issue is that this terrorist attack reminds us of similar such attacks of terrorism that were carried out in the masajid. The most recent, prior to the Christchurch tragedy, was a shooting at the Quebec City Masjid in 2017 that claimed the lives of 6 Muslims and injured 19 others. But this event and this mass shooting in the masjid reminds us of the very first such attack that took place in a masjid in this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that was on the 23rd of Dhul Hijjah, 23 years after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Madinatul Munawwara, approximately 12 or 13 years after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The location was Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. The very first attack of this nature in the masjid, where worshippers were killed and martyred, took place in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and which in fact resulted in the martyrdom of Umar. The perpetrator or the terrorist on that occasion was a Majusi. He was a fire worshipper, a polytheist by the name of Fayruz. And he was known as Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi. Fayruz, he attacked Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu during the Salah. It was The Fajr Salah, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who was leading the congregation in Salah. And during those days, the masajid were not lit up as we have these days. Well, not this morning, many of the masajid were out of light, thanks to load shedding. So the masajid were not lit up, it was quite dark. And this man, Fayrouz, Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi, he was armed with no ordinary weapon. We find on this occasion, this mass murderer, the terrorist, he was also not armed with an ordinary pistol or firearm. It was a rather sophisticated machine firearm that he came with into the masjid, and the same applies to Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi. It was no ordinary dagger. Dhatu Naslain, it was a two-headed, a double-spear dagger that was soaked and dipped into poison approximately 1 month, premeditated. This man has been planning for years, a premeditated, well-calculated attack on innocent Muslims. The same applied to Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi. In fact, he threatened Umar radiallahu ta'ala during his lifetime. And he hid in one corner of the masjid. And as Umar radiallahu ta'ala commenced the salah, he came and he thrust this dagger into the abdomen of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Umar was a very powerful and strong man. And he kept on piercing and slashing Umar radiallahu ta'ala 6 times in the abdomen. And the most fatal wound was in the navel of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. What was Umar's reaction and what was his response? Sahaba, many of the Sahaba were unaware of what was happening in the front. And many of them were shouting out, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, thinking Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who had forgotten that he was praying a loud salah, they could not hear his voice. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who at that point, what was his main concern? His main concern was that Umar can fall, but salah must not be abandoned. What did he do? He did not call anyone to his aid or to his assistance. He took hold of Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He brought him onto the Musalla. Abdul Rahman, you continue with salah. Umar can fall. The masjid can fall. Salah will not be abandoned. And for you and I, brothers, if there's one takeaway from this whole thing, there are many takeaways, but if there's one that we need to move or take away from this entire incident, is that salah with jama'ah will take place in the masjid. You know, when Allah speaks of salah, Allah always uses the term aqama, yuqimu, iqamatan. You find yuqimuna salah. What is the literal meaning of aqama, yuqimu, iqama? Literally, it means to put up a structure. فَوَجَدَا فِيهَا جِدَارًا يُرِيدُ أَيَّنْ قَضَّ فَاقَامَ. Allah speaks in Surah Al-Kahf of Khadir and Musa alayhi salam. As they were exiting the village, he found a wall that was about to collapse. What did he do to the wall? Aqama, aqamahu. He fortified it. Aqama. So the literal meaning of aqama, which Allah uses for salah, is to put up a structure, to put up a building. Now what's unique about a building is things inside the building can be moved around. The furniture, you can move the furniture around. You can move the items and the appliances around, move it from one area to another area, but the structure itself is never moved. That is salah. The doctor's appointment can be shifted and can be moved. Your family commitment can be moved. Your get-together, whatever else, it can be moved, but the salah will not move. Aqama, yuqim. It's the structure that you have put up, or that you are required to build in your life. Everything will evolve around that structure. Umar radiallahu ta'ala falls down unconscious. This man, Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi, he now runs to make his way out of the masjid. And as he is making his way out of the masjid, he starts slashing other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in. Many Sahaba were killed, up to, according to one narration, 6 Sahaba were martyred, according to another narration, up to 9 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala were martyred. And many of them were injured as well. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he gained consciousness, what was the first question that he asked the people around him? The first question he asked was, أَصَلَّ النَّاسِ. Did the people pray the Fajr Salah? Did the people pray the Fajr Salah, or did they abandon the Fajr Salah because of my injury? He was reassured that Salah carried on Umar. It comes in the narrations that Abdul Rahman bin Auf recited a short surah, Suratul Kawthar, in the Fajr Salah because he realized what had happened. Now what's interesting to note, some of the scholars, when they describe, after relating this incident of the martyrdom of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they describe Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi as kana mubghidan lil-Islam wa ahli. He was an antagonist. He was an antagonist. His heart was filled with antagonism. His heart was filled with hatred and enmity for the Muslims. He could not tolerate the growth of Islam. He could not fathom the fact that Muslims are, people are coming into the fold of Islam. And we find the same with this white supremacist antagonism. And hatred was the motivating factor behind the crime that he had perpetrated in Christchurch, New Zealand. Brothers, one thing we must understand. Look, there are, of course, those non-Muslims and people of different faiths and communities who have sincere and genuine feelings of care and affection towards the Muslims. We acknowledge that, we appreciate it, and we have seen the overwhelming support by the different communities, especially in New Zealand, the manner in which they have rallied around the Muslim community and offered their support and assistance towards the Muslims, whether it was in the form of financial support, moral support, messages of condolences and sympathy. We acknowledge this. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not prevent you from acting kindly and justly towards those who have not taken arms against you. And justice demands that we acknowledge and we appreciate the support and the assistance that was offered to the Muslims from every sector of the community. But there are those and who are referred to as Islamophobes. Islamophobia is a reality. And there are those who have deep-rooted hatred and antagonism towards the Muslims. But one thing we must understand, that the hatred and hostility that we encounter from certain quarters of the disbelieving community, that hatred and antagonism is a sign of our legitimacy. It is a sign of your authenticity. Their disapproval, if that antagonism is based and it's because of your loyalty to Islam. أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ. Are you going to kill a man simply because he says his Rabb is Allah? That antagonism and hatred is a sign of your legitimacy. That was always the way of the believers. And we should never feel agitated and worried about the antagonism and hatred that we encounter from them, and then seek ways to conform with their demands and their wishes and to earn their approval. Because if we earn their approval, it is a sign of our drifting away from the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way of the true believers. I do not say we don't deliberately cause ourselves to become the target of antagonism and enmity. That's not the case. But if the antagonism stems from the fact that we are loyal to Allah and we are adherents to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I repeat what I have said, it is a sign of your legitimacy and your authenticity. I will conclude on this last point. Brothers, this act of terror and similar acts of terrorism is a direct result of the Islamophobic and anti-Islamic rhetoric and remarks of certain political leaders. Leaders who have referred to Islam as a disease, who have made statements such as, Islam hates us. This is the direct result of those political leaders, community figures, and they must bear the responsibility. We, as a Muslim ummah, were required to bear the responsibility post 9/11. Those political leaders must understand that this type of inflammatory remarks And this type of Islamophobic rhetoric and anti-Islamic statements will have damaging impacts, and is a direct result of that. And this is a lesson for every community leader. In our country, we have political leaders who are determined on sowing the seeds of discord, and who are determined on turning one race against another race. And as a result, we have incidents of land grabbing, we have incidents of stone throwing, we have incidents of destruction of private and public property. This is the direct result of those political leaders who make these type of inflammatory remarks and comments. So this is a lesson for the leaders, whether political leaders, community leaders, religious leaders, that these type of inflammatory remarks will only create within the people an opportunity to express the hatred and antagonism that lies within their hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, safeguard us, grant us afiyah. I leave you with two du'as. A very powerful du'a, Surah Yunus, ayah number 84 and 85. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Let us try and recite this du'a excessively and continue seeking protection from Allah, and consider this as a wake-up call for every one of us. And let us ensure that we will, at least, brothers, one take away from this, as I mentioned earlier, that we will not miss a single salah with jama'ah in the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.